something pretty unique at Victory, and I'm not going to take a lot of time here so that we have time in other places, but it's my pleasure today to introduce a new missionary family, a missions family that we're taking on as support in 2022. So beginning in January, we'll begin supporting this ministry as it launches back in the field in which it operates. But for their own protection, because where they serve is a hostile environment, we actually cannot show them on our live stream. And so actually in just a second, we're gonna cut the live stream. So our online viewers, we're gonna cut the live stream of what's happening in this room. And we will actually be moving you toward Pastor Brady and Pastor Laurie are sitting in our coffee shop, and they're gonna do a live broadcast for you guys there. They'll be kind of talking about Victory, talking about who we are and dealing with some issues there. And so right now we're gonna cut our feed. We love you, thanks for joining us online. We're gonna miss you. But it's time for us to say goodbye. Goodbye.
Hey, well, welcome online audience. So glad you're here.
Yes, good morning.
It's good. I hate that we can't hear our own mics. We need like in-ear monitors.
Oh, true. Here. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So anyway. Hey, we need to make sure. Yep, there are those speakers are on. Sorry, this is our first time doing this. So we're just making sure that everything is right where it needs to be. So anyway, we're excited. So 37 years of our church.
37.
37
that
years.
Is 3 decades.
That's crazy.
Plus 7.
That's crazy.
I mean, sorry, I just kind of felt.
So everybody always like, oh, how long have we been? How long have we been? Yeah. I can remember it because I'm 38 years old.
Okay.
And I always remember like the church is always a year and 11 months younger than me.
Okay, nice so, doing that math.
Yeah,
good,
see,
good,
that's
yeah.
how I do that.
Yeah, okay.
So what we're going to do this morning is you can ask questions. I have the computer set up so I can actually see the Facebook feed. And I can see if you write questions. So if you have any questions about what we're saying, we are on a 2-minute delay.
Oh,
just in case Pastor Laurie says anything that we don't want to hear, we can always go back and just kidding.
Or,
that's not true. Yeah. Or me.
Right.
And so we are on a 2-minute delay. So if there is something you want to ask us a question about, you can write it in the comments. I'm only looking at Facebook right now, not YouTube. So if you're on YouTube, thanks for watching, but I'm looking at the Facebook comments. And so you can ask us questions and all
that.
So here's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about who we are as a church and some of our values, but we're going to talk about it in a different way, like a live podcast.
Yeah.
And so I'm really excited.
I'm all about the live because, you know, I do have the gift of gab.
The gift of gab. And I like dialogue. Dialogue is so fun to me.
Yeah, same.
So I like to talk and gab as well.
Right.
Okay. We finally came up on Facebook.
Oh,
there we are.
Ooh, I don't like that.
Why don't you like that? Don't look at yourself.
Okay, great.
Don't look at yourself. Oh, my God. I look buff. No, I'm just kidding. All right.
Me too.
All right, so let's get into it. So the purpose of Victory, our mantra, our motto, our assignment, our vision is all very simple. Mm-hmm. Is to?
Every believer a disciple to make.
Oh, my gosh, you almost lost your job right now.
I thought you were going to the four core values,
No, not
sir.
Yet. Is every believer a disciple?
A disciple.
We
Absolutely.
Really believe that. We really believe that we are called as a church not to just have church services, but we are called to make disciples, not just Christians.
Right.
But true Christians, true disciples.
Right.
What is your thoughts on like discipleship?
My thoughts on discipleship is, you know, I got thank you, giving me cues over here. I got saved at the age 13, and by the way, I turned 48 this week. Thank you very much.
Yes. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Anyway, so when I think of discipleship, I think of the many layers of my own walk with the Lord and being in the church for so long, and it's looked different. I mean, it's kind of evolved, wouldn't you say? Because before then, it was about go to 32 church services in 1 week or you're not saved. You know, it was about come to the meeting. And that's evolved. And now we're saying people, hey, yes, we want you at the meeting or the place of worship.
Right.
However, I need to know in your living room and in your car when someone just cut you off in traffic.
Yes.
We serve in Jesus. We be in Christ-like. You know, the movement is, are we as the church moving people towards an intimate walk in relationship with Jesus?
That's good. That's really good. Because that's going to move us right into who we are as a church, every believer, disciple, but we think that a disciple looks like these four things. Now, there's other things, so we're not saying like we have it exactly right, but these four core values is really at the heart of what we do, and it actually is shifting even our paradigm even more about staffing and church and assignment and all that, and so the first core value that we believe a disciple goes under is growth.
Right.
Like That's really right. growing. And so whenever you say you're a Christ follower, do you even know what Christ looked like?
Wow.
Do you know
wow.
what he says?
Right.
And I know that's not common, and I wish I was actually saying this in the main auditorium because we could hear some amens and some, you know, shouts and all that, so I know who I'm preaching to. But with an online audience, it's hard to know. But we really want you to grow.
Right.
And the only way that you can grow, the only way is the Word.
That's right.
It's the truth.
That's
and so
right.
we believe a disciple is growing not just in knowledge about how to run a church,
right,
which
right.
doesn't matter,
sure,
but they're growing in their knowledge
right.
of the Word of
Amen.
God.
Amen. That's right. And I've been reading in the book of Colossians, and I actually had Matthew marked, but, you know, I just want to encourage everybody, if you have not read the book of Colossians, I want to encourage you to do so. It has been talking about, I mean, I think it's becoming one of my most favorite books, but Chapter 3 is about living the new life in Christ.
Yeah.
Just going, you know, talking about setting our sights towards heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at his right hand. Colossians is coming alive to me, Brady, like it never has before, because it's going to me back to the fundamentals of what does it look like for me to be a disciple of Christ? How do I grow? How do I move forward in my walk with the Lord? So if you haven't read Colossians, I encourage you to start. It's a very, I don't know, it's just meaty to me right now in this season.
Yeah, even like the title of your living the new life in Christ. Mm-hmm. Like what, so if you've been saved and you don't even know what this new life, listen, you cannot survive on just one teaching a week.
Yeah.
Like you can't, because you're going to need the Word to, like, so it says that, again, I'm preaching a message I want to preach in November, so I got to be careful that I don't preach
right.
my message here.
Right.
But I've really kind of been studying on the early church. And I came to this conclusion that if I gave somebody a Bible, this is a very controversial statement, so hopefully you don't have to go edit this out. But if you gave a Christian or a new person this Bible, and they've never been to church, they've never been anything, they've never heard Jesus, and you gave them this Bible, what would they think that this place ought to look like? Fellowship of the saints, you know, breaking bread together, true communion. They would, the apostles' teaching, which we do that through, you know, the preaching of the Word, but you have to know what this new life looks like. So we expect a disciple, we expect you to grow in your I hate using the word knowledge, but knowledge, understanding, wisdom
but
of what Jesus
would
do. But
wouldn't you call it the person of Christ? Like okay, if I got saved when I was age 13, which was a very long time ago, okay, so that Lori, that disciple in Christ, if you will, versus me today, I should look a little bit more Christ-like. I mean, if I don't, then I am not following Christ well.
Right.
This isn't about you know, me going to, you know, tons of services a day or trying to find all the different things to go to. What this is my life mirroring the life of Christ? Do I have his likeness in me? I do
That's
or
good.
I don't.
That's
you
good.
Know what I mean? And if we can segue into this real quick.
Yeah,
so again,
absolutely.
Colossians has just been, I've sinking my teeth into it. But chapter 3, verse 12 says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make an allowance. This is one of my favorite parts, because we all need to do this every single day in our own houses. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you.
Oh, my gosh.
I think my biggest message would be, Brady, just on discipleship is, it starts in my living room. It starts in my house. If I can't even be kind and forgiving to my own husband or my children or my grandchildren or, I feel like that's the litmus test. You know, it's easy to put on the mask. We've talked about mask or the face when I go out in public, my public face versus my private face. But who am I with the people that live in, in my daily life? Who is that, Lori? Am I mirroring the image of Christ in my daily life, Monday through Saturday, not just when I step into?
You know, in the paradigm shift for me recently, and Ethan, we're working on the audio right now. Yes. When you said the audio is low, so we're getting them to adjust the audio.
Thanks for letting us know.
Yeah, thanks for. So if there's any technical stuff, like I said, we've never done this before. We've never done a remote message online only during our church service, which is really cool. So I'm glad we have the technology to do this and the know-how. But and thanks to our camera guys, Gavin and Felix, they're working the cameras for us. Thank you guys. But the paradigm shift that I had was the shame I felt that maybe I've been saved for however many years, I'm not more Christ-like. Mm-hmm. And I used to think that that's how God thought of me. Okay. And the shift in my mind, thanks to Pastor Larry, mm-hmm. who's really kind of put this new paradigm and new mindset, the mind of Christ in me, that as soon as you confess with your mouth, Jesus, Lord, and believe in your heart, like that is the sinner's prayer. Yeah. There's no prayer in the Bible, repeat this and you shall be saved. It's confess that Jesus is Lord. And what happens is at that moment, God sees you, and I'm scared to use this word because I know where it can go, but God sees you as righteous. Mm. He sees you as perfect. And that he will never love you more than he does right now. There's right. nothing you can right. do. Right. And I used to feel like I had to earn that. But growing in the mindset right. that Jesus and God, like, he looks at me as mm-hmm. Jesus because mm-hmm. I'm hidden in him. Mm-hmm. And that paradigm of like, oh my gosh, I'm no longer a sinner. Right. I don't battle with sin because according to the word, mm-hmm. if you read it, sin is dead. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a mm-hmm. crazy mentality to think about.
It does. And we've talked about this right. recently. Now, that doesn't mean that you still have to make choices every right. single day, sometimes multiple times a day, because we know even Jesus himself was tempted. Right. Jesus, the word says Jesus was tempted, you know, when he was right. fasting for 40 days in the wilderness. The word says the tempter came three times. The enemy, you know, the devil came and tempted him three times right. in a row. And so Jesus had a choice to make. Now, of course, he was the sinless, right. perfect
Absolutely.
Son of God. So, of course, he's going to always choose the right thing. But anyway, yeah. but he still, because why? He was tempted because humanity,
right.
he modeled for us, how do you
right.
combat temptation? Yeah, and what did he do? He it
he
is written.
The word.
It is written. It is written.
Right.
It is written.
Yeah, that's good.
Over
that's
and
really
over.
Good. And because even like another message kind of that I was developing that I may also preach pretty soon is the divinity of Christ and how he left his position in heaven and took on the man part. Right. Like he was fully man. I mean, absolutely fully man. And he never operated as God here on the earth. And because if he did, then we couldn't follow him. Because we're not God. But he, even in the, and you see it in the garden when he was praying, right before the crucifixion, right before he was taken. And he goes, Lord, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to do this, but not my will, but your will. And so right there, that dying to flesh is our example of what we can do. And so anyway,
that's good.
So to answer a question about why aren't you allowed to hear today's church service? Man, this is today's church service. You ain't missing anything. No, it's for, we have some missionaries that they're in some hostile parts of the world, and there's something very sensitive that they're sharing, that if they knew who they were in these parts of the world, it could danger them and their family. And so for their safety and precaution, we are choosing not to add them on our website,
right.
but the church is supporting you.
Absolutely.
The church are supporting them.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's not private. You could call the church and we can
Absolutely.
Talk about it if you have any questions. So
right.
it's not like, oh, there's something secret going
right.
on.
It's to protect the missionary
yes,
family.
Exactly.
We have present
so we're
today.
Not even saying their names.
Right.
But anyway, big missionary family, good friend of mine. So excited for this. And I wish I could hear him too. But hey, you get to hear us. All right. So we have growth. Our second one is this. We believe the disciples live in community.
Yep, that's right.
Like you have to live life with people.
I mean, the word talks about many members, one body.
That's right.
Everyone. And I always say one of my favorite verses. Sorry. Is it okay to just say that about the whole Bible? No. Anyway.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, I believe this is in Ephesians where it talks about every joint supplies. So
yeah.
every single part. This is what I'm thinking. If you haven't been connected in a while, hold on, just take a moment. Can we?
Are you whispering?
I am. So if you haven't been connected in a while, we're missing out.
Yeah.
We're missing out and you're missing out. Why? Because who you are in Christ adds and sows into the body
right.
of Christ. It's so, that's why I really did feel like, hey, this is a sobering
yeah.
moment. Hey, we need you and we miss you in the
yeah.
body of Christ. Now, some of you may be watching and you may be in Dallas or, you know, we've got
right.
friends all over the place watching. Anyway, so yeah, but get plugged in, have community. It's
yes.
so important. It's actually vitally important.
It's vitally, you know, in the, again, this, you could take this however you want. I always come up with these things in my head as we move on. But truth is the Bible, after you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, I'm really studying this, so this is a question mark. If you want to know about Victory, us as a staff, we have a lot of question marks about what we're actually doing and thinking and stuff like that. But one of the question marks is, you know where the Bible, after you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, the only other time I believe confession is used about sin is in James 5:16. It says, confess your sins to one another that you may be healed.
Right.
Because, again, Jesus sees you. God sees you as him, mm-hmm. as Jesus. So mm-hmm. you're righteous.
Right, yeah.
But it says, confess your sins to one another that you may be healed. I need you to know what I'm going through. Right. I need you to wash my feet.
And it puts it in the light, Brady.
It does.
Because we know, I know years of you being a youth pastor, me being a children's pastor, one of the main messages that we teach to young people, and we say over and over again, but as a whole, we all need to be reminded, whatever stays in the darkness can fester and grow.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we just like we can grow in Christ, so can sin. And if it stays hidden, things that stay hidden and in darkness will only eat you from the inside out. So the Lord knew the healing nature of confession and speaking. And when I say that, I've got to be careful.
Right. I know what you're saying.
But to one another, brothers, to say, hey, I need to just, you know, get this off my chest. Someone that obviously you trust and you know that has your back and they love you unconditionally.
Yeah.
But it's just, there is something, the Lord put it in here for a reason.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's very
important.
But
that feet washing that Jesus did, when Peter goes, Lord, you are not washing my feet. Mm. If you're going to wash me, wash all of me. Mm. And his words to Peter was like, bro, you don't need to go take another shower. Like, you're clean. You just been walking in the world. You got some dirt on your feet. And it was, as I do to you, you now do to one another. Mm-hmm. You don't have to get re-saved.
Right.
No, you confess your sins to one another. And it's not like, hey, Lori, I did this yesterday. Will you forgive me? Like, do you forgive me? And now I get to go to heaven again. It's not that confession. It's like, we're walking together. Can two walk together unless they agreed to do so?
Right.
That whole process. And so we need community.
We do.
We need community to pick us up.
Yeah.
We need community to walk with us.
Encourage
us. I need machete handlers like to just go through the woods as pioneers. We need some stuff like that.
Yeah, so that's good.
All right. So we got growth. We got community.
Right.
Our third one is worship.
Right.
We believe that a disciple worships. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about music.
Right.
I'm not. We are not talking about. Now, music is a part of it.
It is.
But it's not the main part of worship.
Right.
According to the New Testament, according to Romans 12, our reasonable act of worship is your life being sacrificed.
Amen.
Your life as a sacrifice, holy and acceptable and pleasing
to
God.
Daily.
That is your reasonable act
of
worship.
That's right. The Lord does not just want our worship, number one, in a church building or just on a certain day. I want to remind us, what are we doing Monday through Saturday to show worship to the Lord? What are we doing when, you know, this is human nature. It's so easy. I get a new house. Mm-hmm. I haven't yet, by the way. But anyway, I get a new house. Woo! Hey. Oh, God, you're
by
good.
By faith.
right. But really, God, you're good. Yeah. Or, hey, something comes through, whatever. You get an unexpected blessing. Woo! My God is good. Well, how about on that day when I've been waiting and waiting, is my God still good? Even though I don't see what I've been believing for? Okay, to me, that's more of a sacrifice of worship and praise.
Yeah.
It's on the days that I don't see it with my tangible eyes, but I still choose to say, God, you are still good.
Right.
Even though you are still good. And even if I don't understand why, I still choose to worship.
That's right.
To me, that is the true ultimate test of a heart of worship is through good times and bads, mountain tops and valleys, will I still worship? Will I still praise? Or do I only worship and praise when things are good?
Right. Because honestly, in the Old Testament, it says enter his courts with praise and enter his gates with thanksgivings. Well, according to the New Testament, we're the gates.
Yeah.
Like I'm the gate. Mm-hmm. And so thanksgiving needs to, my life needs to be full of thanksgiving to the Lord and not just singing and not just spiritual psalms to one another, but it needs to be my heart's cry in every word and deed that I do. Mm-hmm. That's worship.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that can be confusing because when we start service where I was like, hey, guys, let's worship. Mm-hmm. Singing songs is a response of something that God's done.
That's right.
Worship is simply a response.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sometimes I have to go back to like, okay, Lord, you really did send your son. I have to go back to John 3:16 and just the go,
why.
Yes,
why am I doing what I'm doing?
Right.
Because let's be honest, sometimes, I mean, we're human, and we've heard this so many times throughout the years where we'll, you know, start a worship set or whatever, right. and you'll have people go, well, I don't really like that song, or that's not...
that was not a good worship set today.
Yeah, that's not my cup of tea, this, that, and the other. Okay, well, you know what? I'm just as human as the rest of you. There have been times I've thought that too, but you know what I choose to do in those moments? Whether I'm here or I'm worshiping with another church family, I choose to just kind of, Lord, you know what? I love you, and God, I give you praise and thanks. I actually start my own little worship set instead of me criticizing man, because man is fallible, or I say, well, this, that, oh, they went off key. That's a distraction to me.
Right.
So I just choose to, Lord, you know what? In this moment, you're good. And that's something that helps me.
And so you, this morning on this online and later on, because we are recording this and we're going to post later, I mean, you're getting a lot of many little messages in there. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it's this exciting time. Yeah. So we got growth, we got community, we got worship. And then our fourth one that we really want to kind of talk about this morning is the heart of mission. Like, we really believe in having the value, not of missions, but of every single person has a purpose and assignment on this earth.
Right.
We all do.
Because so many times when we say the word mission and people automatically add the S to the end, they think getting on a plane and going to a remote country. We're just like, oh, that's not me. I can't have a heart of missions or mission. We don't, what we're talking about, it's what Pastor Brady just said. It is daily as I go.
Yep.
I'm being available to be the hands and feet of Jesus, whether it's at the gas station, Walmart, it's my neighbor, it's, you know, maybe a widow. Oh, that reminds me.
I know. We're going to talk about that in a minute.
Okay,
don't bring that up yet. Yeah, don't rush that one, because that one's going to land the plane.
Oh, man,
But honestly, that's what it goes to is there for so long is the Bible says this, that whenever you come together, everyone has a gift to bring. But on a typical American church Sunday morning, not being judgmental about the church, maybe a little, but the only few people that get to operate in their gifts the way that the church is set up is the teacher, the pastor teaching, and the worship leaders. But every single person, according to the word, if we believe the word, has a gift to give.
Well, and I'll also say our support teams.
Yes.
You know, such as,
but
you know.
But honestly, I agree with that wholeheartedly. Mm-hmm. But does our greeters... Mm-hmm. Or the coffee shop, or whoever, are they serving that coffee? Mm-hmm. I hate to be so religious sounding, in the name of Jesus.
Okay. Well, you know what? If they're not, I want to inspire them today.
That's
so
right. That's what we're doing.
Or a greeter, if you're a coffee shop, if you work in the hub, I don't care if you're a safe team. I want to encourage you to live on mission.
That's right.
And look for an opportunity even to pause if you're getting that cup of coffee and you see hurt or brokenness in someone else to go, hey, can I pray for you real quick?
Yeah.
Y'all, it takes a matter of moments. Moments to be intentional. But you have to look for it, Brady, because I guarantee you there's days I am sprinting through Sam's or Walmart and I've heard people say, they'll text me later and go, hey, I thought I saw a streak past me and I realized it was you. And I'm like, God, I hate that.
Walk slowly through the crowd.
You know, but hey, how many of you know you're like laser focused with shopping and you're like, okay, go 10 minutes and you're in and out. But there have been times that I'm not in a hurry and I intentionally go, oh,
whoa. Oh, okay, she's got her fancy new watch.
Well, you know what? I was gifted this.
I know.
I thank you to my precious sister in the Lord who gave me this, but it's still, I don't know. I'm about to toss it. If it says something again, you're out of here, sister. That was Siri, by the way. Anyway, so.
Yes.
But yeah, I do think that it's being intentional.
Yes.
No matter what capacity you serve in the church.
Right.
Don't say that, well, I can't surely pray for someone because I'm not a fill in the blank.
Right. Well, we talked about this on the pre-show, and it's a funny joke with us, but Jesus never ran anywhere.
Mm.
If anyone had a mission to accomplish, it was Jesus, and he didn't run anywhere.
But how do you know?
It says that he walked.
What if he mall walked?
I doubt he did.
Well,
I doubt he did.
Okay.
I think he walked slow because he walked slowly. He walked intentionally. He never strided. He never strived. He just stride. And the definition of stride is long, deliberate steps.
Oh, so he probably had really long legs. He could walk way faster than me.
Okay.
But no.
But he just walked slowly through the crowd. And when he did choose to ride an animal, he didn't ride a cheetah.
True that.
He didn't ride a quarter horse. Oh, he rode a donkey.
Donkey.
Have you ever rode a donkey?
I haven't, and I don't care to. But
if
they
he
go
kicked
slow,
him, he and we get fat. I mean, Jesus could have fell off.
Yeah, so yeah, hey,
like,
they go
because they got little legs. Like
so they walk slow.
They walk slow. Okay. Yeah, well, like Shrek. Yeah, like you've seen Shrek, right?
At one season of my life, yes, okay. It was a minute ago. But
they
yeah,
walk slow. All right. And he never ran anywhere, wow, and that is so huge, huh, to me.
It is.
That
it is.
He,
good point,
because his mission was people.
Right. So,
Yeah. See? Yeah. See where I'm going with that?
Yeah, I do.
So, but the thing is yes, yeah, our teams are missional.
Yes.
They are very missional.
Yes.
But what I think that we could do a better job with is celebrating the wins. And here's why. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, our beloved LSU Tigers finally got a good win. They beat Florida 49-42. The running back Price got a record for the most rush yards in one game, 286 yards. He ran the ball. The record was 287, and the record was 284. So he broke the record. After the game, he's at his press conference. Everybody's like, "Yes, oh my God, good job! You broke it. You've had a bad season, but look at what you did." He refused to take credit for it. Wow. He gave the credit to his offensive line. Wow. And he said, without them, I wouldn't even got 1 yard. And so we see what we do on the church. And we see people get saved, or we hear, oh, great message, Pastor Jody. But you know that you opening a door, or you serving coffee, or you watching somebody's kids had something to do with that? Like, yes, the offensive line,
right,
but who
right,
gets the credit is normally whoever gave the
it's
word.
It's typically the people that are even on the front line,
right,
shall we say.
Exactly.
But that's awesome, and it really touches my heart deeply, because me being so involved in children's ministry, again, after a long season of
right,
not being super involved in it, I can't tell you how much it fills my heart to overflowing every time I see a team member walk through those doors,
right,
and they said yes. They said yes to being present. They said yes to, you know, giving that cup of cold water, shall we say,
right,
to a little one.
Yeah.
That to me, and look, I see Dayanara, yeah, she won't be able to see her. She's way over there. But anyway, she's another hero of ours. But week after week after week says yes to loving
yes,
on our preschoolers and teaching them the word. Y'all, do you know that her mansion, because she's with the younger ones, and sometimes they're like, it's probably going to be way bigger than mine in heaven one day. I mean, I'm just,
yeah,
this isn't
you,
about, okay, this is about, sometimes we get so caught up on with living a life of mission of, oh, that's for the pastor, that's for the preacher,
right,
that's for the worship leader, that's for the, even the children's and the youth pastor.
Right.
We're asking each one of you, even watching, even if you don't even live in our state, what can you do to say, Lord, show me
yeah,
how I can better live on mission.
Yes.
What does that look like?
Yeah.
What does it look like?
What's funny is last night was my 20-year high school reunion. Mm-hmm. And we were sitting there before everybody got there, because I was on the committee. And I noticed there was nobody at the door. Well, I'm like, we got to have door greeters. And so I got one of the girls who graduated with me. I was like, hey, we're going to go be door greeters. And honestly, all my friends from high school saw me like welcoming everybody, shaking hands and smiling, high-fiving. And they came up to me like, Brady, you could be like a professional greeter. And I'm like, this is what we do in our life. And
right,
it's not about door
yeah,
greeting, but it's about, I want it last night for people to have a great time. I believe in greeters at church, because you are the one of the, our parking lot team. You're the first
face
that people see. And honestly, nobody wants to be around grumpy people. Maybe the church is shrinking in size because too many people are grumpy.
Come on. Hey, and a smile is free.
I'm looking there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, were you saying I'm grumpy?
No, I'm looking in the camera.
Sorry. Sorry,
no,
the
I'm just, you're online.
I mean,
so you're
I
not
know
grumpy.
I'm not grumpy, but the way you went, you know, anyway, just making sure.
I have never, that is one adjective that would never describe you at all, is grumpy.
I don't know.
Now, me, on the other hand,
yes,
intense. But some people,
I'm looking
take it
at
as,
his wife.
But
would
some
you
people,
say he's grumpy every
some
now
people
and then?
Moody, grumpy. I don't know.
Yeah.
But most of, because I just feel like it's so important. If my life is a living sacrifice,
yes,
I am pointing people
right,
to the gospel.
Right.
I am pointing yeah, people to the Lord,
yeah,
and I can.
Yeah.
My mission of my life is, no matter where I go, if you're a plant worker,
yeah,
and I always go back to that. If you're a plant worker,
right,
if my wife's a nurse, I can tell you that she has ministered to moms giving birth, who's affected their lives forever, especially moms who, their babies don't make it. And to have somebody who has the Spirit of God on the inside of them know, all right, this is not just about delivering a baby.
Right.
This is bigger than that.
Yes.
It's not just about being an operator or a plant. It's bigger than that.
And we're really landing on this, right? I really feel the Lord on this right now. To drive the point home and to really even, you know, hopefully and prayerfully to inspire you to live a life of mission.
Right.
Whether you are a teacher, you work in one of our refineries, fill in the blank, you know.
Right.
And some of you may just say, well, I'm a stay-at-home mom. Oh, my gosh.
Right.
Do you know that's the most important mission you'll ever have is actually tending to your house well and caring for the very nest that God put you to oversee?
Yes.
So we talked about this a little bit earlier. How important and how vitally, never say it is, well, I'm just, throw the word just out. You are a stay-at-home mom, or you are this. And whatever the path that you chose, your career, or whatever it is that you chose, live on mission daily.
Right.
And it's simple. How do I do that? If you have a relationship with the Lord, it's as simple as, Lord, show me how to better do that. Again, stay in the Word.
Right.
Because the more we stay in the Word of God, the more, how can I say this? It becomes a fruit of your life.
Right.
You don't have to, like, white-knuckle it, as Pastor
yes.
Jody says a lot. You don't have to try to figure it out.
Right.
It becomes the overflow of your life. It becomes a part of who you are.
Now, we're never saying that missionaries are not important. They are.
They absolutely are.
But not every single one of us are called to be missionaries in Asia or Africa or South America or whatever.
Right.
But we can all be missionaries wherever we're at.
Yeah.
That's the point of this thing.
That's right.
And one of those people that did it, and this is where she wanted to go a while ago, is we had the funeral of one of our church members last Saturday. Mr. Gary Grimial passed away. And at his funeral, people started talking about what he used to do, things that we didn't know. So Mr. Gary actually mowed our grass.
Mm-hmm.
He's a grass guy. That's what he did. But he just didn't do that. He did other things.
Yeah.
He mowed widows' grass for free.
Yeah.
He would, one of his clients couldn't get a ride to go get something. He would bring him to get his prescriptions. Like, that is a big deal.
The more testimony and the more stories that unfolded about Mr. Gary Grimial, and we're using him as an example today because this was just something that happened in the last week. Tears, like, I was sitting there, you know, when you have that lump in your throat and it's almost painful because I didn't want to make a noise in that moment. But his precious daughter-in-law got up, and I don't know if she watches our services or not, but she got up and she began to talk about the life of her father. He was a father figure to her and father-in-law to her. And just that, yes, you modeled, you know, a hardworking attitude and ethic, and you modeled so many different things to us as just a good man. But deeper than that, you truly modeled what it is to be a disciple of Christ.
Yeah.
And she just began to talk about all the different things that, you know, not even things, it's just who he was.
Right.
And taking care of widows and mowing their grass and giving groceries and helping neighbors. And it's just like, that's it. That is it. People knew him as a builder. They knew him as, you know, a businessman. But we didn't know half of who he was in the Lord until people started sharing the story.
And his helper, I'm not going to say names, but his helper, who's been mowing our grass and helping him for years, told us that day that Gary Grimial changed his life.
Wow.
And now he said, he would not be anywhere near the Lord if it wasn't for Gary Grimial. And just hearing that and going, wow.
And this was such a man that, y'all, if you saw him in a crowd, you know, you wouldn't be like, oh, look, he's the one. No, he was just like
Each one has a gift to give.
Each one has a gifting. And we didn't even know. That thing that's so beautiful about this, Brady, is he served in our church for years and years and years, was a part.
He was our greeter team leader.
He was our greeter team leader. The thing about it, though, is he was choosing daily and often to live a life on mission.
Right.
He didn't have this title. He didn't go to Bible college. Because how many times, I don't know if you've heard this a lot. I have heard it over the years of, well, I don't feel comfortable leading someone to the Lord or doing this and that because I don't have a Bible degree or I just don't feel like I'm good enough or I don't feel, fill in the blank. Isn't that such a lie of the enemy to stifle the body of Christ so that you will remain silent and you will not make a difference?
Right.
It starts right there in your neighbor with your neighbors.
Yeah.
It starts in your community.
Well, here's the last thing we're going to say is at that funeral, one of our good friends had a retirement party that night. Mm-hmm. And he left here. It was a surprise retirement party. And he left and he goes, you know what's sad? And he told his wife this, that Gary probably never heard any of those people actually tell him that. He said, why do we wait till the end of somebody's life to tell about the good deeds that they do? Yeah, and then that night at the retirement party, they had 20 people get up and talk about how big of an impact that that man had. And
that.
So don't keep your encouragement to yourself. Let's build each one another up in the faith. Like, encourage
one
another.
The word says so. It says encourage one another daily.
Onto good works.
Onto good works.
Onto good works.
Because Father knew that every day the enemy would try to lie to us, try to convince us that you're not good enough, Lori. You're not worthy enough. You're not smart enough.
Yeah.
You're not this. You're not that. And if we're not careful, we'll believe the lie and we will never be effective, or we won't be as effective for the kingdom.
Yep. So what we want to do, every believer disciple, these four core values, they're not just some cool things that we thought of or we read in a book. Literally, how many years ago? 5 years? 6 years? How long has this happened?
do you mean with Pastor Jody?
Yeah, Pastor.
The passing of the baton, and my father-in-law is in here too watching. Hey, Bob. 2016.
Okay, so 2016, when we got together, I remember the first thing that Pastor Jody did was he took me and Pastor Bobby and Pastor Felix, and we went out to a lake, and we prayed, and we were like, okay, what is the Lord saying? Mm-hmm. And these four values literally kept popping up and popping up and popping up. And it's like, okay, this isn't just a cool thing that we put on a statement on the wall. Mm-hmm. This is who we are.
That's good.
And it's not just who we are. It's who we want the body to be.
Right.
Keep growing in your word.
That's right.
Grow in your word. It's the only thing. My son the other day, he goes, Dad, how do I know if I'm hearing the voice of God? I was like, you take it and you test it. Test it with you got to test it with the word. And so you got to know what Jesus said. A lot of times, sometimes we don't know the real Jesus. Like, what did he say? What did Jesus say? I wish that we still did the WWJD bracelets.
Okay, bring it back, man.
We're bringing it back.
I mean, hey.
Hey, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? Like, how would he respond to this? When someone, like, when we see somebody who doesn't look like us, maybe a little smelly at Walmart, like, oh, God. And we run from them. I don't know. I just go, God, my heart breaks for people. I think Jesus saw the humanity of humans and just his heart broke, but he had the answer. And you have the answer. You got the cup of living water that he had.
Right, that's right.
You have it. Thankful for his gift on the cross that you have it. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, keep growing in your word. Mm-hmm. Second, live in community.
That's right.
And I know our online audience, maybe that's easy for you to live isolated. Maybe you're at home, but don't live isolated. There's so much power in community. You got. They want to hear
sorry.
You.
Okay, anyway,
she's
fine.
Like, so you can stay connected. Stay connected to that microphone. And so, yes, we want people to live in community because, I mean, I think we're pretty cool to hang out with. I don't know. And if you're like, man, I've been coming to church and I don't have that tribe, let me tell you, I got some tribes for you to join.
Absolutely.
There's a Kidmo team that you can join.
Hey,
there's
all
an
right.
LP
you didn't
team.
Tell me you were doing that.
I didn't.
All
there's
right,
an L.
Thanks.
It's the Lord.
LP team?
The LP. We got the Ark. The Ark.
Babies.
The baby church. The Ark.
I know.
Listen, there's so many. The greeters.
Yes.
The production. Our production team is changing the world.
Okay, now you said the word team. That's your fault for saying this. I love team. Team, there's no I in team.
But there's
imagine
me.
That. No, but seriously, team to me is so, so vitally important to the body of Christ. First of all, Jesus modeled with his disciples. He didn't do anything by himself. That was extreme language. Obviously, there was a few times he actually did.
The temptation.
Okay.
Yeah, I got you.
He
I
did
where
pull
you were,
away.
I
but
where
typically,
you were going.
Jesus lived in community. He
That's right.
had a group of people that surrounded him, and they did life together. They served together. They broke bread together. They were present with one another. And there's so much power in community. And a lot of times I've heard people say, I don't feel connected. And then you ask them, well, are you serving? No.
Yeah.
Okay, well, if I chose to just take my, you know, cut my hand off and throw it, I know that's a little morbid, but toss it over there and my hand is like, oh, I feel, but imagine if you chose to, and then toss it out there and the hand is like, someone help me, I'm alone. You are alone. Get back joined into the body. That's the most extreme
and
thing
listen,
I can think
crossing
of.
Crossing your arms on the sideline and going, they got to come get me.
No.
That's not the right attitude.
No.
Now look, we're trying to leave the 99 and go after the one.
Right.
But sometimes you know where the gate is and you need
That's
to come
right.
back
come,
yourself.
Come, connect.
And so come and connect.
And also I want to encourage you to serve because there is something so special about serving.
Right.
I'm telling you, it fills my love tank, Brady.
Right.
Every single Sunday when I Right. I'm serving in our Kidmo team. Every Sunday when I'm present, I get so much joy. I do. And I know Heather, I see her smiling at me, you know, over. And look, we have Pastor Rick. What? We got all the generations represented. We got the babies, the youth, and Kidmo all represented in this room with us at the moment. But there's something just so significant about serving and saying yes to the team.
Yes.
It brings you in. And
I would not be where I'm at now if I wouldn't have said yes to turn on the light switch.
There
That's
you go.
All I'm saying. It's because my youth pastor pulled me into a team.
So simple.
But that team wasn't just about doing the job. I had people on that team who discipled me.
That's right.
They go, hey, the light switch isn't important. Right. What's important is, hey, those 10 scriptures I gave you to read, did you read them?
That's right.
And they're like, can you quote any? And I'm like, Matthew 7:1, do not judge, or you too be judged. Like Luke 10:19, God has given me power and authority to trample over snakes and scorpions. Like,
the light switch was your connection to accountability.
Yes.
It kept you accountable to be discipled and mentored.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
You had to say yes, even though it seems so insignificant maybe at the moment. That was, but I have to be there because they're counting on me.
That's right.
And then you came, and then you were poured into, encouraging the Lord.
Because what we're trying to encourage our team leaders to do is – and I tell the production team this a lot, is we worship first, we capture second.
Nice.
So when you're working in the ark, or you're working in Kidmo, or I hate using the word working, but
serving.
If you're serving, and giving.
You're partnering with
us. Yes, you're serving. If you're serving as a door greeter, man, worship first, greet second. It all should be about worshiping him first through your servant. And what people will see with that is they'll catch on. It'll be like a lightning just catches on to somebody. It's like electricity, and that's the part of the team that we want. So we're encouraging our team leaders, don't just get a job filled. Don't just get a – we use Planning Center. Love Planning Center online. I hate how it says position needed. Like, we're not filling spots here. Mm-hmm. It's not just a spot.
Yeah. Yeah.
You are part of the team.
You are adding life to the body.
Yes,
it goes back to what we said earlier. By when we say yes to team and serving, and that's a part of being missional, living on mission, who you are brings life into the body. And we may be missing out because we don't have you.
Right.
I mean, I think of that regularly and often, is how many part of the body of Christ are on the sidelines, maybe because of an injury, you know, a spiritual, you know, mentally, emotionally, whatever, they felt injured by the church. Which, can I just tell you, as a pastor on staff, there is nothing that will bring me to tears more than thinking that you got hurt by the church and by the body of Christ.
Right.
I'm sorry. I am terribly sorry if
you
are watching online, but you are scared to come because you're concerned that I can't get hurt again. I gave, and I was I was vulnerable, and I said yes to team and ministry, and I got hurt. That's not okay. And
that's right.
I know that we are not perfect here, but listen, you come and find one of us, and we will cry with you. We will pray with you. We will love on you. We're not perfect, but what I do know is we are intentional about being sensitive to the needs and the brokenness of others, even if it comes out of a season of pain and maybe church hurt. So I just really felt prompted of the Lord to say that, if that's you and you're watching today.
Yeah, and so we never want to make light of anybody not being here.
Yeah.
But if it is because of that, just come come back. And
there's a seat for you at the table, my friend.
There's absolutely a seat for you, and there's always a seat for you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that seat, according to the word, is in the presence of your enemies. He sets that up because he wants to have fellowship with you. Fellowship is something that we don't really understand. The dinner table is so – we have a missionary that lives in France that we support personally and as the church too. And their whole thing is not going to plant a building, but they're planting disciples around the family dinner table and eating dinner together. That is so important. So we hope that you enjoyed this, to live on mission, to live in community, to have the growth, and to live a life of worship. That is who we are. And so let's go out and be the church this morning.
Amen.
And so we are so excited. If you need anything whatsoever, hit us up on email. Come by, call church.
Yeah.
See us next Sunday.
Yeah.
It is going to be a great time. We will see you soon.
Yes.